If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is where we're going to get our text today and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Philippians chapter number 3. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but we'll be all over the chapter this morning. Good to see some of you that we haven't seen in a while. And I mean that. Good to see you. My heart is encouraged when I see you come through the door. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I can say this, God's been good. I can also say this, He's going to continue to be good. He can't be anything else. He's a good God. And I appreciate Him. Children of God this morning, I know you love Him. You want to serve Him His way. The text this morning comes from Philippians chapter number 3. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 10. The Word of God said that I may know Him. I want to remind you of something. Paul is not talking about the salvation experience here. It's sad, but so many people get saved, that's as far as they go. They think that's it. No, that's just the beginning. And I don't believe Brother Grizzle's a more seasoned man of God in the world than the Apostle Paul, but he's still saying that I may know Him. I think if you've been saved for 50 years, you want to know Him better. You want to be more like Him. He said, I don't want to just know Him, but I want to know the power of His resurrection. The girls were singing this morning, the ladies, about a double portion. That's what Elisha wanted. Most of us, if we'd be honest, we would have been tickled when Elijah said, tell me what you want or ask of me. We would have been tickled, Brother Bob, just to say, make me half the man of God that you are. But no, Elisha said, here's what I want. I want a double portion of what God's put in your life. That's good, ain't it? The Word of God said, and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. Paul understood that there was a perfection out in front of him that he had not yet experienced. There's a part of us, youngins, that's perfect. That inward man is perfect. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, God, when He saved us, He saved our soul. But there's something that comes with that. That's just the earnest of our expectation. He's also going to change our vile body and give us a body like unto the Son of God that will be perfect as well. The Word of God said here, but I follow after, that I may apprehend for that which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. My text and how the Lord dealt in my heart is in these next two words, I press. I press. You tell me where the people are today that are pressing. That's what I want to preach on today. I press. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brother Aaron, if you would, you can bring the baby if you want to. Come up here, brother, and pray for me this morning. Pray for this service, would you? Amen. Amen. Appreciate this young man. I'm not talking about Aaron. Amen. Appreciate you too, brother. Pray for us.
Back in your house, Father. It's such a blessing, Lord, to be able to fellowship and worship with your people. Father, it's a blessing to know, Lord, that we still live in a land where we're free, and Lord, we can do this. Father, we thank you for all the opportunities and the blessings that you bestow upon us. But Father, now as we get into the Word, we ask you, Father, that you would anoint our brother's lips, anoint his tongue, Father. Lord, we ask you to use him, and Lord, not only let us be hearers of the Word, but Lord, let us be doers also. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. We thank you for all your many blessings. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. And thank you, Neelan. You did good, buddy. Amen. I get my children and grandchildren up here in my arms when they're little. They want to preach. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the children. I press. I thought about a couple of things this morning as the Lord dealt with my heart about the message. And I want to share a couple of these things with you today. Before I share anything, I need to get rid of that. We do not need flying chewing gum. Amen. Brother Wayne and Sister Carol's moved up, and I want them to stay up here. Amen. Gary Joe, I was thinking about your family. Y'all are way too backslid this morning. Amen. I know what happened, brother, and that's okay. But I appreciate you. Rusty, I appreciate you praying, brother. And I hope you're as happy as you look, Rusty. Amen. Amen. You and Miss Hannah are a blessing to this pastor. I press. Wait just a minute. I need to tell Olivia that I'm not preaching from the script, but I have something I want to look at here this morning. It is a definition, if I can find it here. A definition of the word press means to act upon through steady pushing or thrusting force exerted in contact. Steady pushing or thrusting force. I thought about a couple of things that would maybe just help you in your mind to get what the Bible's talking about here in the word press. How many's ever been to a football practice or watched a football practice? Anybody ever been to a football practice? First thing I thought about, chance, was the sled, where the coaches will stand up on the sled and the guys get down in a three-point stand and they blow the whistle and they put their shoulder down, their shoulder pads down, and they have to hit that sled and move that sled. Then they blow the whistle and they get to rest about a half a second. They blow the whistle again, and they're sliding that sled across the field. There's a lot of resistance involved in pressing. That's why the coaches are standing on the sled. They want it to weigh more than it already does. Amen. And by the way, beloved, you and I have a very real enemy. And in that football practice, before it's over, those players feel like the coaches are the enemy. They feel like they've lost their mind, amen, that there's no way we can do this any longer, especially in the heat of August football practices and the latter end of July football practice. I know a lot's not going on right now because of COVID. When I thought about the press, I thought about something that maybe you've know about, or maybe you don't, but they have something called a hydraulic press. Some of them have an electric motor that runs them, and you just push the button, and the older ones, they have a handle on it, and you just pump it. It's really basically just like using a bottle jack, and you're doing one of two things. You're either taking something apart that's very tightly together, or you're putting something together that has very close tolerances. when I was in the machine shop world. I'm not trying to bore you, but I'm going somewhere if you'll stay with me. When I was in the machine shop, you had something maybe called a thousandths press. That was the tolerances. In other words, this part that's going in is one thousandth bigger than the part that it's going into. That's not a very tough press at all. You can about do that with a hammer and a block of wood. But when you get into a 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 thousandths press, it takes tons of pressure to get those two pieces to mate together. I used to work in a sand and gravel quarry, and the bushings in the loaders would wear out, and they would have to be replaced. And I can remember this like it was yesterday. I can remember my dad taking the bushing itself and putting it in the freezer overnight. And then that made the bushing contract just ever so slightly. And then I can remember my dad taking a torch and warming the OD that bushing was going into, which was making it extract or come apart, expand, I guess is the right word, ever so slightly. And then he would take a sledgehammer, even at that, the cold part, the hot part. And I mean, buddy, it took a lot of force to put it in place. I thought about that when I thought about the press. It's used sometimes to take something apart. It's used sometimes to put something together. I thought about the press. I'm trying to get this word press in your mind. Steady. Going at it. The Apostle Paul was not one of those that was in and out and up and down. But he had his shoulder to the will of God. And he was pressing toward a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll give you some things this morning I believe that will help. I think about a press in a basketball situation. That press is designed, sometimes they call it a full court press. It's designed to keep the opposing team away from the goal. Beloved, listen to me this morning. The children of God ought to have a goal in your life. That goal is to please God. That goal is to cross the finish line one day after a while and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." There's nothing wrong with the goal after all that He's done for us to please Him in our life down here. I want you to know, just as sure as there's a goal on a basketball court, and just as sure as there's a team that's trying to get that ball in that goal, I believe there's a defense. There is a opposing team. There's opposition trying to keep them away from that goal. I believe in the Christian life, a lot of people get saved and they think there's not going to be any opposition. Beloved, that's just not so. There's going to be opposition. But aren't you glad for verses like this? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Aren't you glad for verses like this that says, listen, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I don't have to wait till the end to see who wins. Beloved, listen, the Bible has already sounded the buzzer, and God's people win in the end. That ought to cause us to want to serve Him. That ought to cause us to want to love Him. That ought to cause us to want to do what we can for Him in these days. Let me give you a verse of Scripture, just going again, just talking about the press for a moment. Then we'll get into the message. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. By the way, I don't know if you read into it, but when Brother Steve was reading that letter from Abram, Bobby's being pressed. He knows that he's failed. Let me just say this. You might be looking down that nose at him, but oh no, let me tell you something. That's when help's coming, when we can realize we failed and cry out for prayer and cry out for help from somebody else. He's crying out, Sister Jerry, say, pray for me. I don't want to fail the Lord. You say, preacher, you ought to just suck it up. You've never lived in prison. No, what we ought to do is pray. Not judge him, but pray. Ask God to help him. Ask God to help him. He's in the same prison, Brother Wayne, where Big Head was. I don't even remember his name. Everybody knew him by Big Head. He had a Friday night service up there. I can't even remember what they called it now, but every time the Rock of Ages was in there in revival, Brother Steve, he gave us the service. We would average maybe 30, 35, 40 men in the little chapel, but in that Friday night service, it was nothing to have over 100 men. He loved God. He was only out of prison for about 6 months, and a liver disease took him out of this world. But I'll see him again one day. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, everywhere you go, there's the right crowd and the wrong crowd, and in the prison, it's the same way. There's a good crowd of men in the prison. They may not be in the majority, but I tell you, there's some men in the prison that are serious about serving God. Let's pray God to put some of those men in Abram's life. Pressed. If you will, look at verse number 7. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:7, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation." I'll say some things after a while, but really, we're living in a generation that wants the easy way. They want the crown, Brother Aaron, but they don't want the cross. They want to be part of the bride, but they don't understand that it requires getting bloody along the way sometimes. Beat up! Along the way, sometimes. In verse number 8, this is where I wanted to get to. The Bible said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." I want to ask you a question. What in the world do those TV evangelists do with verses like this? Well, I'll just go ahead and answer it. They skip them. God didn't put verses in the Bible for us to skip. He put them in the Bible to help us. Here's the Apostle Paul. I dare somebody just to say, well, he must have sin in his life. He must just be out of the will of God. That's what they'll say. If you're not driving the finest and living in the finest and got your pockets padded in 2 or 3 airports. Amen! They're padding their pockets as they fleece God's people. Help us, Jesus. Paul said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed." You see it right there? Pressed out of measure. What's that mean? Paul's saying in so many words, I can't even describe to you what was going on in my life. I believe David would say the same thing when he was in the cave. I looked on my right hand. There was no man that would know me. No man cared for my soul. I believe this, and Elijah would say the same thing under the juniper tree. Pressed out of measure. Just let me die. We're talking about Paul, the man of God. I'll say this morning. God's men are not exempt. I believe, listen to me. Our country is turned upside down. In law and order. The police officer has a target on his back now. A target on his chest now. But let me say this. God's men have had a target on them a long time. Those that will preach the truth. Those that will not waver. Those that will not compromise. My wife said the other day, if the election goes the wrong way, it'll be against the law to preach against sodomy. I'll tell you what's the truth, beloved. Listen! God's men will keep preaching. Not just against that sin, but against every sin they can find in this Bible, even if they're guilty of it themselves. They'll preach against it. Paul said, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. You say, Pastor, I don't know what this has got to do with Philippians. Are you understanding a little bit better now what he's talking about? When he's talking about pressing towards the mark, he's not talking about tiptoeing through a bed of flowers. He's talking about a war that's going on in his life. Not going to be easy. These fellas running up down the road telling you it's all going to be easy are lying. They're not preaching the Bible. They're lying. Watch this now. He said in verse 9, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. This pressing that the Apostle Paul is doing, he's not trusting in his own strength. By the way, let me just say this. There's too much going on today in the name of Jesus in the strength of a man and not in the Spirit of God. It's not our strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. Put something together. Take something apart. When that football player lowers his shoulder, there's two things going on, at least two things that I know of. Number one, he's building strength. And number two, he's building stamina. God help us. So many people, they want to go with God until the first little trial comes along. And then you can't find them anymore. I said, God help us. Beloved, listen. Jesus has got a man of God here, Paul, that said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing toward the mark? Let me give you something. I received this in a text last week. I'm not sure if it which one of them books it was on, but this is what was said. It said, a pastor friend of mine told me a statistic that kind of shocked and deeply saddened me. And after speaking with several other pastors who are really struggling, I'm starting to believe it. A survey was done with people since COVID who are no longer attending their church faithfully in person, listen, or online. And the survey revealed that it only took 12 weeks before they quit even watching the online services that were provided by their church. 12 weeks was all it took to walk away from a faith that many claimed they would be willing to die for. Then it said this, if you don't miss church when you miss church, then you have something missing. Brother Steve, I think that says what's been on your heart for months. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? How does that fit with the message? Listen, some of us are here this morning, and it wasn't easy to get here. We had to press. One of the greatest pressing that's going on in America today is pressing through the press. Somebody help me. The press is depressing. Lopsided. Well, it's quiet, but it's a truth. Calling evil good and good evil on the airways of America. No wonder our younger generation's in trouble. People are giving up too easily. God wants us with the Apostle Paul to press. Okay, y'all ready for the message? Sam, are you laughing with me or laughing at me? Both, he said. Amen. Amen. I like that. Let's look at some words in this chapter, and I'll be done, and won't take long. And I'll give you what the Lord spoke to my heart about. The first word I want to look at in chapter number 3 and verse number 1 is the word finally. I had a funeral last week. Did you know that every one of us has a day that'll be finally? You say, Pastor, why would you encourage us to press? Why would you encourage us not to give in under the pressure? Why would you encourage us to go on with God? Because finally, in the end, every one of us are going to stand, not before a pastor, not before a pope, but we're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Finally. On that day, the Apostle Paul will be really, really glad. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He told us that everything he did was by the grace of God. The word finally. That's what's going to matter, beloved. Will we press? Let me say this. Your marriage will not make it unless you're willing to press. Our church will not make it unless we're willing to press. The enemy's going to come. Yes, he is. But God wants us to lower our shoulder. God wants us to turn the dial up. If it takes more pressure, let's turn the dial up and let God make us like his son. The word finally. I'm going to say this. I've known a few people in my life. All they live for, they're never even thinking about a day when they're going to stand before God. All they live for is the now and now. A lady told me one time, she said, you talk too much about eternity and not enough about time. I looked at her and I said, the last time I checked, eternity's a whole lot longer than time. And I think there needs to be an emphasis put on eternity. Finally, my brethren, he's not talking about the barroom crowd. He's not talking about the drug addicts. He's not talking about those on the street that are causing mayhem. He's talking to the church. He's saying, church, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in, because finally, you'll be glad you didn't give up. You'll be glad you didn't give in. It'll be interesting in the judgment day, won't it? There are people in our church that have every reason to do exactly what they're doing. Every reason to do exactly what they're doing. I think about people with the issues, the health issues, and they have every reason. And some of those will not miss a service. They've watched every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. They want to stay close to the church and stay close to the pastor and stay close to the Lord. But I'll tell you, finally, it'll be revealed. How many watched an online service or two or three or four and just fell off? Just fell off. You say, Pastor, what's wrong with you? I'm telling you, every pastor in this world that's worth his salt wants to sit off to the side or stand off to the side, Brother Steve, and watch his people march by and one, after another, hear the Savior say, well done, well done, well done. That's the joy of his heart. Every dad, every mama, every couple, well done. Finally, the second word in the chapter that I want to call your attention to, there's several of them, so I'll hurry, is the word flesh. Beside the word finally, I wrote the word help. Josh, that'll help us to realize us under somewhere. We have to stand before the one that saved us. But we also right now need to realize we've got flesh. Finally will help us. The flesh will hinder us. If we could get this straight, no one's flesh wants to serve God. No one's flesh, I'm gonna make a statement. You don't have to believe me. Your flesh is just as rotten as it ever was. Your flesh is just as capable, if it's not brought under the influence of the Holy Ghost, of doing anything it ever did, and worse. Mine is the same way. Flesh. Flesh. Just as sure as the word finally helps us to press, flesh will hinder us. Flesh will say, well, I know that we're supposed to be in a full court press, but I'm going to sit on the bench while the enemy scores a goal. I know that God is using this pressure to make me more like Jesus, but I've just had all I can take. I'm despairing even of life. I give up. Beloved, I want to just say this, and you don't have to agree with me, but we're too near home to give up now. I'm going to ask you to be honest. How many's ever thought about giving up or felt like giving up? Come on now, would somebody get honest with Pastor? You've never had the devil sit on your shoulder and say, what's the use? Just give up. The old flesh. Flesh don't want to go with God. The next word. You ready? The word finally, the word flesh. The Bible's outlined itself this morning, Brother Steve. It's the word found. Look in verse number 7. Paul, he talked about his credentials. But he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I want to say this. Listen to me carefully. I'm not talking about a man that once in a while maybe speaks of where he went to Bible college. But if you have to get up every time you get up and tell somebody where you went to seminary or where you went to Bible college, help me. Apostle Paul wasn't telling us where he went to seminary. He said, listen, I'm not interested in the wisdom of man's words, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He said, all of that I count but dung that I might win Christ. I listened to a man preach for years, if that's what you want to call it. I told another man, I said, if somebody from that Bible college could hear that man, they would say, please, shut up. Don't tell anybody where you went to Bible college. He said, Pastor, are you being critical? No, I'm being truthful. It was pitiful. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Beloved, listen. God's Word, that's what God's men are supposed to preach. The Word of God. And when you do that, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to back up. You need to be like the old prophets. Thus saith the Lord. Watch this. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Boy, how many can say Christ Jesus is your Lord? Christ Jesus, my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Here's the next word. And be found in Him. I want to ask you a question today. If Jesus were to come today, where would you be found? Oh, you say, Pastor, I'd be found in the Bible Way Baptist Church. Can I tell you this? That ain't what's going to matter. I'm glad you're here. God wants us to be faithful to assemble ourselves together, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Going to heaven, it's not whether or not you've been found in a church. It's whether you're found in Him. Will you be found in Him? With all of Paul's credentials and all of Paul's accomplishments, he's going to press because he knows, Brother Steve, he's going to be found in Him. I like that. There are those, and I'm not being critical, but believe that maybe sometime you can be in Him and other times you can be out of Him. But I believe when God put me in Him, He said, how in the world are you going to stay in Him? The Holy Ghost. He sealed us till the day of redemption. He said, if I believed that, I'd go live like hell. No, if you believed that, you'd take a lap and we'd find you down at the red light praising God. Because you're saved eternally. I give unto them eternal life. Is that right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have, somebody tell me the word, everlasting life. Did some of y'all just say eternal? That's what I thought. Same thing. Everlasting life. The word found. Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, it's not about me, not about what I've done or what I've studied or where I've studied or who I studied under at the feet of Gamaliel, but it's about Christ and His cross and the resurrection. The word found. The next word is in verse number 10. It's the word fellowship. The Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Look at that next phrase. And the fellowship. Fellowship of what? His sufferings. Brother Gary, it was one thing for the disciples to fellowship with Jesus at the Last Supper. I believe that was sweet, don't you? It was one thing, Brother Steve, for the disciples to fellowship with Jesus there on the shore when Jesus had the fish already cooked and the bread already made up. That was one thing. But what the disciples may not have known was just around the corner. That good fellowship with the bread and the fish and the supper was going to turn into stripes. They were going to be beaten. Why? Because they were somebody? No. But because they hated their Jesus. Oh, if we could get this straight, beloved. Listen, in America, there's people that love the Word of God and love Jesus, but there are people that hate the Word of God and hate our Jesus. Hate Him with a passion. The fellowship of His sufferings. I say this, they pass laws saying you can't preach the whole Bible. Shame on a man that'll quit preaching because some man made law. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't want to suffer. I don't want my family to suffer. We're no better than those disciples. No better than that early church. Matter of fact, I think we got a long way to go to get even with them in the service of our God. Fellowship. The next word, look at verse 12. Are y'all doing okay? Amen. I appreciate the Lord. My wife said last night, she said, honey, you ready for in the morning? My answer was, no. I kind of feel ready, Brother Steve. When he shows up, he'll help you get ready, won't he? The next word is the word follow. Look at verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained. Either we're already perfect. He said, but I follow after. How many believes the Lord is our shepherd? How many believes we ought to follow Him? How many believes the shepherd's not behind the sheep driving them, but He's out in front of the sheep leading them? That's what the Word of God's talking about. Following. Now watch this. There's another shepherd in this text. Look down in verse number 17. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, be you followers together of me. Listen, I'm preaching the Bible. I'm not preaching drink the Kool-Aid with James Jones. But in my life, I've always had a pastor. Somebody that I could call. Somebody that I could share a burden with. Somebody that I could ask advice from. Somebody that I was willing to follow. Not blindly, but as they followed the Lord. Watch what he said. Paul said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, even as you have us for an example. Paul said, I'm not the only shepherd. Mark the others that are walking in the same path that I'm walking in. I like what Brother John has said over and over in Sunday school. Brother John, we're not the only church preaching the truth. There's God's men around us everywhere. And churches that's preaching the same Bible. And preaching the same truth. Paul said, be followers together. Now watch this. Verse number 18. He said, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, it broke Paul's heart that some had given up on the truths of the Word of God. I'm telling you weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. A man that'll tell you, sign this card, let me dip you in a hole of water, join this church, put X amount of dollars in the offering, and in the by and by, the sweet by and by, you'll be all right, is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Those that will tell you, you must be born again. You must repent. You must trust Jesus. They are friends of the cross of Christ. I asked a lady this one time, if we could just be a good person, be a good citizen, even be a good church member, and that would get us to heaven. I asked a lady this, why did Jesus have to die? And she looked at me and said, preacher, I never thought of it like that. Can I tell you why Jesus had to die? So he could stand and tell us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me hurry and I'll close. Just remember, after Paul said, finally, my brethren, there was two more chapters. You'll get that on the way home. Followers. In verse number 13, this is important. Two more words and I'm done. The word forgetting. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting. How many of y'all have ever failed the Lord? How many's ever been real good and beat down over it? Like there ain't no use. I want to say this to you. Listen, I think there's a danger in two areas. I think there's a danger in making too much of our failures. But I also think there's a danger in making too much of our successes. If we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and reach the goal and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to have to live one day at a time. Not dwell in the past. I don't believe the Apostle Paul is talking about forgetting. You remember, I think it was the book of Galatians, he talked about his wicked past. And he said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He wasn't talking about forgetting where God found you and what God had done for you. But he was just saying, I can't dwell on the past if I'm going to make a mark in the future. The word forgetting. I believe, Brother Wayne, that's one of the things the men in prison battle. Those ugly scars. But they don't realize it, Brother Wayne. We're sitting on pews battling the same ugly scars. You can shine your halo if you want to. But honey, sin will scar your life. And if you don't have those scars, I praise God for you. I think it's wonderful when a young person gets saved before all those scars are developed. God not only saves a soul, but He saves a life. Forgetting. And then the next word and the last word is this one. Well, no, it's not either. I didn't mean to lie. There's actually two more, but they go hand in hand, so we'll put them together. The word forth, reaching forth. That means something that's out yonder. Now look down to verse number 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. That means our citizenship. The children of God have dual citizenship. We're a citizen of the United States of America, but there's a citizenship even higher than that. We're a citizen of heaven. Watch this now. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Is anybody looking for Him? You say, Pastor, how can I tell if I'm looking for Him? If you're looking for Him, you're living for Him. Who shall change our vile body that it may be, here's the last word, fashioned. Now listen to me. I'm not crazy. I know that fashion means a lot more to some people than it does to others. The first church I pastored, almost every suit that I owned came from the Goodwill. You say, aren't you ashamed of that? Why would you be ashamed of buying a $100 suit for $10, $12, $15 that still had the tags in it and never been worn? If you can find them, show me where they're at. I'll go get some more. One young preacher told the old preacher, he said, them skinny ties are no longer in style. That old preacher looked at him and said, son, if you live long enough, they'll come back. Now, Brother Griswold, he's a fashionable man. But he ain't got nothing to do with it. I got sense enough to know what's going on there. Amen. Sister Peggy keeps him just matched. You're not colorblind, though, are you, Brother Griswold? I have to have a woman, brother. I'd be in awful trouble ever was. Amen. I was back here this morning trying to get Brother Ralph to tell me what color his mask was. Amen. If we could just get, well, you got blue on, don't you, Anthony? See, but they said Brother Ralph's was green, but it looks red to me. I thought we could have red, white, and blue, but we can't do it. I can anyway. Amen. Fashion. Can I tell you this? There's a lot more people concerned with the fashion of this world than they are with one day, Brother Rose, having a body that's fashioned like unto the Son of God. These words may not mean much to you, but they mean everything to me. He's going to change my vile body and give me a body fashioned like unto his own body. No wonder I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. I'll ask you a question this morning. I'm done. Ladies, would it be too much trouble to ask you to do that song again? If it don't help nobody else, it'll help me. Treasures unseen. I'll ask you this question. Are you pressing? Are you pressing? If we're not pressing, we'll end up depressed. Somebody say amen. You see, when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, he was pressing. When he started running from Jezebel, he ended up depressed. Amen. God wants us to press. Can I say this? How many dads we got in the building today? Raise your hand if you're a dad. Brother Gary, the youngins need you to press. They need you to press. Don't give in. The pressure's coming. Old Slewfoot will say, well, if Jesus loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. Honey, Jesus loved me, and I can take a look at Calvary and say I've never been through anything that would even come close to what he did for me at Calvary. Let me encourage you to press. Don't give up. Don't give in. There's a mark. There's a mark. Brother Rick, it ain't been too long ago. I think Mandy took some very serious tests at school. There was a mark she was aiming for. I guarantee you, if you ask her, there was a mark. There was a lot of diligence. There was a lot of study put into it that she might reach that mark. What's God's people doing that we might reach the mark that he has for us? I'm just glad you come this way today. Let's bow for prayer.